Occasionally, I think it is good and right for us as the church to hollow out a Sunday and do nothing but the table of the Lord. It is good for us to be reminded to remember. It is good for us to be reminded why we do this on the first Sunday of each month. So often as we are taking our journey through the Gospel of John or whatever we're doing, I fear in my own heart that at times I teach you wrongly, that we just tack this on at the end of a service. But loved ones, this table deserves our most pertinent thoughts. This table deserves our steadiest of attention. And it deserves our deepest affection. Across the front of it, it actually says, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's the Lord's command, 1 Corinthians 11. And certainly, none of us here this morning would argue that the Lord Jesus should not be remembered. We desire in our own lives to remember Him. But y'all, this table is different. This is where we come together as the body of Christ, local, and we remember together. This is where we come together and we observe the obedience to this command. But can I call our attention and our affection this morning to the fact that we must gather here? And if you're a guest with us this morning, let me explain to you that we come to this table on the first Sunday of each month. So at the very least, we come 12 times a year. But we also come more than that. Special seasons, Good Friday, et cetera, et cetera. We come to this table at the very least 12 times a year. Why? Especially when we know that familiarity can breed contempt. Why do we come? Well, we come obviously out of obedience to the command of our Lord, "Do this in remembrance of me." But at least as we sanctify this table in our hearts as holy, I hope that we come out of a love and devotion to the Lord Jesus that we come to remember. This morning, as we approach the table, I would like to take just a few moments and read to you from Luke chapter 22. You can join me there if you'd like. Luke chapter 22, it's on page 1048 in the church Bible. If you've come this morning without a copy of the Bible, here in a little while when our service is over, if you'd just take that one as a gift from our church, we would love for you to take that Bible. And on your way out, there are some Bible reading plans that will help you read through that Bible this year. Please take that Bible, read it. We're going to pray that you come to know the Jesus that it's about. And then bring it back with you next week. We don't want it back. It's yours. It's a gift. You can write your name in it. It's yours. But we'd love to study it with you. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 7. And hopefully some of what you're about to hear will echo in the back of your head with what you've just heard in Exodus chapter 12. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this. I find it intriguing that the very next thing in the text is the disciples arguing about not only who would betray him, but who was the greatest. Behold the self-serving disciples. This morning I'd like to bring just a couple of thoughts as we approach the table of the Lord that I hope will begin to sanctify our minds towards why we come, for what purpose. First of all, this morning, I'd like for you to notice that what we observe as the Lord's Supper was instituted in the middle of a Passover meal. This is extraordinarily significant. This morning, a few moments ago, we read Exodus chapter 12, where God gave his prescription for the Passover. And I want you to remember that that very night, the death angel, here it is, passed over Egypt and slew all the firstborn of every house, whether they be human or livestock. What was the reason for the Passover meal? Well, the answer's on the front of the table, so y'all, this is an open book quiz. What was the reason for the Passover? The reason is remembrance. It was a memorial of God's redemption from captivity and slavery in Egypt. God's people were saved that night because of the blood of a lamb. Not just any lamb. I think this echoes better when you're hearing it than when you're just reading it. Did you notice the progression there? Maybe we should say the digression in Exodus chapter 12. Did you notice that at the beginning of Exodus 12, it was a lamb? Did you notice that by the time you gathered, it was the lamb? And did you notice that by the time you slew it, it was your lamb? What we remember today here in the Lord's Supper is also a memorial. It was also instituted by God, and it is also as a remembrance. What we memorialize here at this table today is God's redemption of us from captivity and slavery to sin and death. That's Romans chapter 6. God's people are still redeemed today by the blood of a lamb. But again, not just any lamb. You'll remember a couple of years ago when we started John. In chapter 1, John the Baptist one day saw Jesus coming and he identified him. He announced him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, because this is a remembrance of redemption through Jesus Christ, this is why not everyone is invited here. Occasionally, someone will ask me why at the table. I always say, if you are here and you don't know the Lord, please pass the elements by. Don't you think that just excludes some people? It does. It excludes the people it's meant to exclude. You see, this is a renewal of our covenant in redemption. Those who have never been redeemed cannot remember Christ's work of redemption accomplished and applied to their sinfulness. In order to know Christ's work of redemption, you must first recognize your own sinfulness. Romans chapter 3 is very clear about this. There's none righteous, not even one. And later on in verse 23, he actually says this: all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yesterday I said this, and it bears the repetition, that the Greek word that's used there comes from the world of archery. And the word picture is that there is a target at which you are shooting, and your arrow falls short. It does not reach the target. The target of our lives is the glory of God. We were created to live for His glory. We were created to bear His image. And yet, because of sin, we fall short of the glory of God. And that must be recognized. And once you've recognized that sin will never allow you to save yourself, you must cast yourself on Christ in repentance and belief. Repentance is the acknowledgement before God that you are a sinner and that you can't save yourself. Belief is the trust that once you cast yourself on Christ, He really will save you. I've had these conversations, I'm sure you have too. Well, I think what you're saying sounds like good news, but you don't know what I've done. That's okay. I don't need to. He does. And He still offers His salvation. He still offers you repentance and belief. So the historical significance of what we remember here today goes back to the earliest pages of the Bible. God delivering His people in remembrance of their slavery by the blood of a lamb. And that's exactly what we remember here today. God delivering us, not from slavery in Egypt, but slavery to sin. Slavery, listen, to death. Eternal death and separation from God. But God redeems us from that through the blood of the Lamb. Secondly, this morning, the symbolism of bread and wine are in place to remind us of God's provision of nourishment. God created and designed our bodies to need food and drink. And so He built into the fabric of our beings hunger and thirst. I've often said this when people question the goodness of God. I say this: what if God had created our bodies to need food and drink and then not put any taste in the food? No. God created everything so that we would receive it with gratitude and thankfulness, and that we would turn back to Him the praise. And He built that hunger, that thirst into us. And Jesus draws upon that at this table. Here, Christ nourishes us, like gathering at a table to have a meal together nourishes our bodies. We come here to nourish our souls. For example, as we eat the bread, we say in our hearts, Lord Jesus, I take You as the bread of life. Isn't that what he said of himself in the Gospel of John? I am the bread of life. I am that which not only gives you life, but I am that which sustains your life, your meager physical life and your eternal spiritual life. I am the bread of life. And as we come here and we receive the bread, we are reminded that Jesus is the bread of life, and he has promised to sustain us. We come and we receive the cup, and we drink the cup, and we say in our hearts, Lord Jesus, how could I ever thank you enough for shedding your blood for my salvation? I am thoroughly convinced. Now look, I don't necessarily have chapter and verse on this, but I'm thoroughly convinced that that's what eternity is going to look like for us. Just trying to express our gratitude for the fact that we're there in the first place, for the blood that Jesus shed for our salvation. Now listen, as we receive this bread and drink this cup, with these words of thanksgiving in our hearts, we are nourished, we're strengthened, we're refreshed. We find new joy in our hearts. We leave this place with a new lightness in our step. We leave, in God's grace, in closer likeness to the Jesus we come here to remember. So we're not here this morning to argue that we should come. But sometimes we need a reminder of why we come. Beloved, my challenge for you this year, and my challenge to this pulpit, is to never let familiarity breed contempt. Yes, next Sunday you're going to hear me say something you're very excited to hear. Go to John chapter 6. We're going to move on to John chapter 6. We're going to look at the feeding of the multiple tens of thousands. And we'll stay in John chapter 6 until we get to February 1st. And when we get to February 1st, we'll go on in John. But what I'm afraid of is that if we just view the first Sunday of the month as, oh, okay, well, that's Lord's Supper Sunday, so, you know, we got to make sure we have somebody to get the bread and the cups ready, and we got to have enough deacons to serve us, etc. And we just tack it on, that we forget to remember. This nourishment, this refreshment, this strengthening, this new joy, this new lightness in our step, this closer likeness to Jesus that we remember here. This is what the Lord's Supper ought to mean to us. This is what it ought to mean in our hearts. My challenge to us this year is simply this: that we take this table more seriously. I've thought that I'm going to try to remember. I'm going to make myself a note. And if those of you who are good at remembering stuff would remind me, I will do it. I will take your reminder. To send out a letter, to send out an email, whatever, in the last week of each month, so that we can come here already prepared and already having repented and taken a look at our lives. Because I don't know about you, but as I come to this table, it's always the same list. It's always the same 4, 5, 6 things, right? There are some things that for us are not really temptation. But let me tell you something. The tempter and his minions know where to punch you. They do. And I don't know about you, but I find in the week prior to coming to this table, it seems like temptation is even stronger. So I'd like to remind you, and if you'll remind me to remind you, I'll remind you via email and letter to come on these first Sundays prepared already. Get alone with God. Get in your car, get in your closet, wherever you have to go to be alone with God, and ask the Holy Spirit to search you and know you, see if there be any wicked way in you. Get alone with God, the Holy Spirit, and say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Because there is nothing that we do as God's people that is more sacred than this table. God, in eternity past, placed His redeeming love on us. And here, we have the opportunity to remember what His love cost. It cost everything. It cost Him everything. And so, I say this so often, and I'll say it again. Don't forget to remember. Let's pray.